through the lives as well.
And you're live.
Yeah, you can. Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Mostly Peaceful Latinas. I'm your host, Bella.
And I'm Linda.
And do we got an episode for today? Let me tell you. So we've actually been holding back a lot, I feel, over the last couple of months. We understand that 2024 is still some time away. And we don't want to make this about the governor. We know that we've talked about this to you guys a lot. But today we want to talk about Florida legislators. And really the disservice, the conservative Florida legislators, and really the disservice that they are doing to us Floridian constituents. So we're going to be discussing a couple of bills today that we believe to be deceptive and dangerous to not just free speech, but bodily autonomy, and a whole lot of other things that we want to get into. But specifically today, we will be exposing Florida legislation. So let's get to it.
Absolutely. But before we go on, we want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Century H2O. Century H2O, as you guys know, is a Patriot-owned water filtration company out of Arizona. So shout out to Nelson. They are a under-the-sink 10-step system that will remove all of the toxins that are making the frogs gay, like fluoride, chloride, sodium, everything that you do not need to be drinking. And aside from that, it will remineralize your water with things like magnesium and calcium. It's under $300. And with our code MPL10, you get 10% off. We've already had a few people purchase these water filtration systems and tell us that they're absolutely loving it. I know for one that I have my Century Water right here. And I'll tell you guys that aside from that, Nelson is over in East Palestine, Ohio. I know people have moved on from this conversation, but they're still funding these systems for people there. And also they're trying to fundraise money to get more systems into the hands of these people. So with that being said, we have a very special guest today that I want to introduce you guys to. And I've known this young, lovely young lady for a few years. Her name is Drianna Sixto. So Drianna, tell our followers.
Guys. Hi. Thank you so much for having me. This show is really fun. So I've been looking forward to coming here. And especially since a lot of my followers are mostly English speaking and a lot of the interviews I do are in Spanish. So this one's for you guys. You can understand what I'm saying this time.
Love that. Can you tell us a little bit about who you are? Tell people.
So I work for Turning Point Action, and Turning Point Action is a 501c4 organization founded by Charlie Kirk, based out of Phoenix, Arizona. It's a national organization, and it's got three primary functions: obviously registering people to vote, two, endorsing truly conservative candidates, and helping them get elected. So that's what we were doing pretty much all of last year. We were mobilizing the community by putting together Super Saturdays where people would go out, knock doors for candidates, and really not just like talk the talk, but walk the walk, right? Yes. To get our people
elected. So important.
You know, the dirty work that nobody likes to do, but it, you know,
the really important work that nobody wants to do. Because I feel like most people don't realize that part of why funding for a campaign is so important is because it funds that kind of efforts, right? Mm-hmm. So when the Democrats have these like huge pots of money that they can go and to pick funds out of, they can choose, they can hire volunteers to go knock on doors for a specific candidate, get more flyers out. Mm-hmm. So the activism, the volunteer work is so important to actually moving change forward.
And our volunteers obviously just, you know, wanted to be there. We obviously don't pay anybody to volunteer and knock doors with us. So it's really true patriots that put in their times over the weekends. And then the third thing and most important thing that we're doing is we want to save the country by saving the GOP first. And the way we're going to do that.
This is why she's our perfect guest. This is why she's the perfect guest for
today. The way to do that is really from the bottom up. And it's involving people that are truly passionate about the country in their local GOP. Most people just know that, okay, when it's election time, go vote Republican, vote for the better candidate. But there's so much more that they can be doing, and that you don't really have a voice within the party unless you're a precinct committee man or a precinct committee woman. That name varies by state or by county. In case in Miami-Dade County, it's district committee man or district committee woman. Right. So these
we have a committee woman right here.
So these people are the ones that really are the voice of the GOP in their community. So this could be a few blocks, and there's privileges and also responsibilities. So showing up, voting on important issues, and really giving the party a platform and focusing on the things that matter to us, especially election integrity, things that might have been ignored by a lot of GOP leadership after 2020. And a lot of the base was really, really angry at the fact that nothing really seemed to have changed in some places for that. And so a lot of people are disenchanted. They might even leave the party if they don't start seeing.
That's where I'm at. We're there.
They don't start seeing change. And I was kind of in that same place too. But when Turning Point Action approached me, and by the way, I used to work for Turning Point USA, then they asked me to transfer over to Turning Point Action, came to me and said, well, we want you to help build this out more like we did Turning Point, you know, USA, which, you know, is the biggest student grassroots organization in the entire country.
Right.
And I know that we have, I have trust in the Turning Point brand and our efforts and the fact that we really use our resources to the best of our abilities, and we hire the best people. Knowing that we have that, I have a team like that behind me, I kind of have faith in this mission that we're on. Okay. And so I haven't completely lost faith in, you know, saving the GOP and reforming it so that it represents us better. And then hopefully in the future, we can save this country for a civil war or something. I don't know.
For what it's worth, if we leave the GOP, is in an effort to strong arm them to do the right thing.
I'm certainly very disappointed. And it's something that I pointed out today when I said, if it wasn't for Trump, if it wasn't because Trump is running in 2024 and I can vote in the primaries, I would literally drive tomorrow and change my party registration, especially with what we've seen from the Florida Republicans. Like, you have all these headlines, Florida's turning red, Miami-Dade is turning red, it's a red wave only in Florida, where woke goes to die, and all these things. But the reality is that there's so many bills that sound very good, but are not that good. And that's what we want to discuss. So with that being said, we can get into our first bill.
Let's go. Before we do that, I just want to give a couple of shout outs to our boy Shooter305 with his $5 donation saying, sup queens, keep exposing all of these sellouts who cry about communism but are the reincarnation of Fidel and Che trying to pass anti-free speech laws. Shooter, I'm so happy that you're back. We missed you. And also a shout out to Melissa Saldana Ocasio, who says, Irina la caballota. Melissa Saldana.
thank you so much.
Yes, we agree. So thank you guys. Remember always that Mostly Peaceful Latinas is self-funded. No Illuminati, no lizard people, no GOP. It's just us.
It's just
so us. Your contributions help us pay for the production of the podcast and help us grow so that we can bring you guys more content. Without further ado, Linda has been talking to you guys all day about a particular bill coming out of Republican Florida legislators that would criminalize free speech.
Mm-hmm. And so per usual, somebody brought it up to my attention. I forgot who it was. And they said, have you looked at this bill? They want to criminalize like passing out flyers. It's all about anti-Semitism. And the rise of anti-Semitism in the U.S. and Florida, which we can talk about that later, see if it's true or not. But I said, okay, let me take a look at this bill and see exactly what it says, right? And so the first thing that I saw was a tweet, which I wish we would have given Angel, but it's right now on my story. And it's a tweet by Rep. Andy Fine, I believe. And so Andy, he said this. Randy Fine, he says, this flyer was littered at a friend's house in Jacksonville this morning. This has become common in Florida, thanks to HB 269, which I'm sponsoring alongside with Rep. Mike Caruso and Vicky for Florida. That's my state rep. This will soon be a felony that puts these people where they belong, in jail. It's very clear, right? Like he himself, it's still on Twitter. It's telling you that they want to criminalize anti-Semitic flyers, right? And then we have to break down like, well, what is anti-Semitism? Is there threats that they're going to do something to the Jewish people in this community? Because then we're talking about actual crimes, right? It's actually not a threat. It's actually not inciting violence. It's information which they don't like. And this is what the flyer says. I guess it has a picture of Jonathan Greenbelt, who's the president of the ADL, Mary Pagan, and then Leo Frank. And then it says this, today the ADL power has grown exponentially, and they wield it with intention of displacing and replacing white Americans. And then it goes into a description of who Leo Frank was, who the girl was, and who Jonathan Greenbelt is, who is the current president of the ADL. There is no threats of any kind. There is no malicious intent.
To the average person.
It's just flyers that present, I guess, or say anti-Semitic stuff that people don't like.
I mean, whether or not you agree with it, I don't think that it's really the argument that was being presented. Right.
So let's go back as to who's passing out these flyers and why. There's a group called the Goyim Defense League, right? And I guess it's like, whether you want to call them white supremacists, whether it's neo-Nazis, they are a group that opposes Jewish people and that has a lot of negative things to say about Jewish people. We may find that to be repulsive. We may find it to be cringe, right? But they are banned on every platform. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, they're not allowed to have a voice online because of the terms of service of each platform. So they have taken to the streets to spread their hate. So what does this look like? They've had flyers over in different highways. They've had them in Los Angeles. They've done it in Jacksonville. They've done it here in Florida. And they've also passed out flyers in different neighborhoods. I think mostly targeting Jewish neighborhoods in Miami, in Jacksonville for sure. I know Los Angeles got one too. But the flyers aren't threatening, and the flyers are just have like cringe messaging. There hasn't been necessarily any attacks that come from this. I think one of the last things that they did about 2 or 3 weeks ago was that the president of this Goyim Defense League, I don't know his name, he was somewhere here in Miami or in Boca, and he was like screaming out of a megaphone and, you know, talking about the Jewish people do this and the Jewish people do that. Would I ever do that? No. Do I agree with it? No. But it's still protected speech, right? Because free speech is speech that you don't like, or else I would be locking up all of the people that I hate that say bad things about me, like Billy Corbin, but I can't do that. And so that's where this bill stems from, which is that Randy Fine, he is a Jewish state rep here in Florida, and he wants to criminalize that. He says that people like this belong in jail. And so I'm really wondering here is, what is hate speech? What is hate speech to you?
Well, it's obviously extremely subjective to each person, mm-hmm. but obviously hate speech, I could personally have a definition, which is, you know, hating somebody just for who they are, their skin color, their background, their religion. Yeah, it's hate speech. Right. And whenever I encounter it, then thank God I have enough free speech to push back on it. And obviously, my belief is that the answer to hate speech is more speech and right. free speech and showing mm-hmm. You have to allow people with really bad ideologies to expose themselves mm-hmm. so that we know who they are, or else who are we going to go after mm-hmm. if they're hidden, if they literally can't express themselves, we don't know who these people with these hateful ideologies are.
Right.
And so the First Amendment is there to protect, obviously, unpopular speech. It's got its limitations when it comes to direct threats, obviously. And whenever that happens, then yes, we need to get the law involved and do the rest of that. And while I obviously condemn, you know, these kinds of like pamphlets that spread hate, unfortunately, that would set a very dangerous precedent for free speech in Florida. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just the other day, people were freaking out about another proposed legislation here in Florida that would require people to register as bloggers with the state of Florida if they wanted to talk about any Florida legislator, including Governor DeSantis himself. People, thankfully, on the right pushed back, and thankfully the governor disavowed it. But stuff like that, you know, whenever legislation...
Has he disavowed it already? Because I heard that
yesterday.
Okay.
He did yesterday. And so whenever legislation like that happens, it's a great opportunity for the left to say, hey, Republicans are so hypocritical. And there's nothing I hate more than hypocrisy. And that's something that nobody's ever going to catch me on. I'll stay consistent in my values. And so that means no exceptions when it comes to free speech. Obviously, again, the only exception is not speech. It's incitement of violence and action to that.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. I'd like to answer the question of how speech is defined. According to the Anti-Defamation League, I want to tell you guys a couple of things that would be considered hate speech or extremist content.
First, tell our followers who the ADL is, because I know a lot of people don't know that, because I get this question a lot.
They don't know. So for those of you that are unaware, the Anti-Defamation League is basically an organization that spends its entire collective existence calling everything that they possibly can anti-Semitic. Anything that goes against any social justice cause. So it's specific. It's supposed to be specific to the anti-defamation of the Jewish people and the Jewish community. Yeah. However, it has now extended out into every single social justice cause that you can possibly think of. So the ADL establishes what is hate speech and then uses their influence within Congress and with legislators to push laws, programs, funding for protections against the Jewish community, creating special laws that protect the Jewish community and make no exception, and that protect the Jewish community while marginalizing every other group of individuals, including Christians and cis white men and any other group that doesn't fall under some kind of social justice cause. So what does the ADL consider hate speech? I'm glad you asked. I've got a list. So being anti-Antifa is in fact hate speech. Being against gender affirming care, once again, hate speech. The numerical sequence of 100%, the numbers 13, the numbers 14, and basically all the 30s are all considered hate speech. Not entirely quite sure why, but according to the ADL, also hate speech. The Celtic cross, hate speech. Pit bulls, believe it or not, also hate speech. The term do your own research, absolutely hate speech. Talking about George Soros at all, also hate speech. The term grooming, hate speech. And I hate to break it to you, but Turning Point USA is also a hate speech extremist organization. Shame on you. So I think that this brings up the point of the conversation, which is,
what is hate speech?
What is hate speech?
You know,
it's great. It's such a novel idea to think. We don't want people to say harmful, hateful things towards one another. Mm-hmm. But who determines what is hate speech? Well, if you're not paying attention, the ADL seems to define what hate speech is 9 times out of 10. And as you can tell by some of the examples that I gave you, there seems to be an ongoing trend where the subject matter that's consistently pointed out for spreading hate speech seems to be conservative ideology. So even as much as telling the story of Jesus Christ's crucifixion, also hate speech.
Passion of the Christ.
Also hate speech. So the idea that we're going to allow legislators to say hate speech will now be a criminalized, I mean, we're talking about fines, jail time, for legislators to say you're going to be penalized for hate speech without truly defining what hate speech is, but also simultaneously letting us know the ADL is going to have an influence on that, is extremely horrifying and an attack on free speech. And the audacity of Florida legislators to try and pull this one in the free state of Florida, because it's not even the lie that the free state of Florida exists. It doesn't. It's it's overwhelmed the same way that every other state is with corruption. It's how much, how loudly they pat themselves in the back of how much they stand for freedom. The majority of this legislators, and I'm going to go over some names now, are Cuban American legislators mm-hmm. from South Florida that had escaped mm-hmm. communism, and how they'll stand for freedom and free speech, and they'll go out to Versailles and they'll fight against, you know, injustices in Cuba. And yet this is the legislation that they're passing.
Mm-hmm. I think it's, I don't know. I think it's a relief at the very least that on our side, we do call out bad legislation and hypocrisy within our own team when we see it. Just yesterday we saw that, you know, into effect. Like, we knew that the whole blogger censorship bill was bad and we called it out. Mm-hmm. The left does not do this at all. Like, they absolutely let it slide. And so I think most of people that are watching you and anybody that watches what we're doing here right now would be on the same page. Mm-hmm. And so it's more of an issue about creating awareness and obviously holding our politicians accountable. And letting them, you know, letting them know what it is that their constituents actually believe in. So yeah, that's everybody's responsibility, is to be outspoken about this.
I think that the new Trump, post-Trump era of Republicans, and I guess you say like MAGA Republicans, ultra MAGA Republicans like us, I think that we are more willing to call it out, mostly because so many of us are Trump supporters and not necessarily Republican supporters, if that makes sense. But there is a lot of covering up for the party that I see with the older generations and with other type of people. Like I have had people come at me and say, well, what do you have to call out the Republicans? And I'm like, because this is bad legislation. Like, this is like when the bloggers thing was going on, I had somebody push back and say, why don't you focus on the Republicans? And I said, seriously, like, this is your response? Like, you want me to forget the fact that they want to register these bloggers? It could be any of us, you know, it could be somebody with a Substack. So I think the older generations may have more of that loyalty towards the Republican Party and say, focus on your enemy, which is the Democrats. I say our enemies are within, and it's the Unit Party. It's the people that forcefully removed Trump from the White House and installed President Biden. And so, you know, with this legislation, I think they wanted to go under wraps. So today I called someone that has a lot of insider information within the House of Representatives here in Florida. And I asked them, I said, tell me more about this rep that filed the bill. Tell me more about this legislation. I want to know what's going on. And they said that they tried to pass this a long time ago. And obviously, like, it just wasn't working out because it is unconstitutional. And so most people believe that even if this were to pass, the courts would strike it down because it's completely unconstitutional. What did pass, I think, when DeSantis first became governor back in 2018, was an anti-Semitism bill that basically prevented discrimination in colleges. Now, colleges are state-funded, so they can't have a say in that, right? And also, we don't want Jewish students to be discriminated against just because they're Jewish. So this is common sense legislation, right? Yeah. However, this is not doing that. This is someone that's taking this very personal and wants to punish anybody who has anything negative to say about his or her demographic. And this is something that we've, you know, like this, Billy Corbin is a huge Cuban American hater. He hates anybody who supports the Republican Party. He hates anybody who hates Trump. In fact, in 2021, there was a commission meeting. Billy Corbin was part of it. And simply because Joe Carollo, Commissioner Carollo, called him by his real name, because his real name is William Cohen, Cohen obviously being a Jewish last name, only because he was called by his real name, that if following morning he called the Jewish newspaper, The Forward, to tell on Joe Carollo and say that that was an anti-Semitic whistle.
Calling him by his real
Billy Corbin by his birth name, which is William Cohen, is an anti-Semitic whistle. So do you see how we don't, like, we don't.
There's a reason he has another popular nickname here in Miami.
Yeah. There's a reason why he's Billy.
Oh, they know their name. We call him a bitch all the time.
They know his Billy bitch. So the first thing that I want to tell you guys about this bill is that when I look at this bill, the people that filed the bill are Fine, that I told you about, and Caruso. And then I go see, well, who is co-sponsoring the bill and who are the other authors of the bill? And here are the names that you may recognize. Basabe. So Basabe is a rep from the beach. He just got voted in, literally just got voted in. Then you have Fernandez Barquin, who's actually her rep here in Kendall area.
He's still in the Kendall area. I'm waiting for Barquin. I'm not gonna drag him yet. I wrote to him today. He hasn't gotten back to me yet. But Juan, call me. We need to talk.
Then there's Garcia, and I'm not sure if this is Ileana Garcia or Renee Garcia. So it says Garcia. Then there is Lopez. So Vicky Lopez, the woman that I was going at, I was annoying today. Rep. That's my state rep. And then we have Perez, which is Daniel Perez. And Daniel Perez is somebody that I actually like. And Daniel Perez is the future speaker of the House. So now we have the future speaker of the Florida House co-authoring a bill that would put somebody in jail for 5 years and also give him a felony if they distribute something that is anti-Semitic, right? And we'll talk more. I'll tell you guys more of what the bill does. That's not the only thing that it does. Then you have Porras, which is another brand new rep that we just voted in Kendall. Then we have Rizzo, which is actually the chair of the Republican Party of Miami-Dade. He just won. He's the chair of the Republican Party, Alex Rizzo, also Cuban-American, also sponsoring this bill. And then the other people you guys may not recognize because there are other reps across the country, but there's also, it's very bipartisan. There is, there's also some Democrats, obviously, that are co-sponsoring the bill. So aside from, there's things in here that most of us wouldn't be opposed to it, right? Which is vandalizing a cemetery, a synagogue, a church, a mosque. These are things that are already illegal, right? Mm-hmm. But then there's something here that's actually pretty funny. So in Jacksonville during the Super Bowl, there was a display on a building that said, I don't know if it said Kanye was right or Ye was right or something that was kind of like the Jewish control, the media, something like that. And so now with this bill, they want to prohibit the display or projection of images into building structures, properties without permission. You're like, okay, well, you know, if they didn't get permission of the business owner, that could be perceived as intrusive, kind of, okay. Then there is something else where if you look at the actual text of the bill, which I'm opening up right here, it goes from that if you protest or you say something that is anti-Semitic, anti-Muslim, whatever, and a person is wearing a traditional religious outfit, that could also be a felony. Oh. Suppose in the event that there is one of these, what is it, care? Someone it's like a Muslim a or somebody wearing a hijab, but there's like a group that you want to oppose. And then you, whether Christian or Jewish, and this actually came from Laura Loomer, and she's Jewish. And she said, well, it's problematic even for me, because what if I want to go protest care, C-A-R-Y, whatever, care, the Muslim organization. What if I want to protest them? And then they're going to say they're wearing hijabs and they're wearing their traditional Muslim gear. And what if I then have to face a punishment because they're wearing traditional Muslim gear, yeah. Right?
Again, dangerous president.
Exactly. A very, very dangerous president. So
you mentioned that the bill was bipartisan, mm-hmm. and that's usually a red flag.
Huge.
When they cannot agree on something.
Yeah. So like,
what the hell's got out of you agreeing on something? Mm-hmm, that never happens.
Mm-hmm. It usually means we're getting double, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So we have to be very wary of these. And again, overall, you know, just to clarify, overall, some of these reps mentioned on this bill, I personally think that overall they're decent, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. they might be confused sometimes and, you know, might not, might need some readjustment to some of the bills proposed. And yeah. That's why it's important to contact your legislator and know who they are and be, you know, be in the know of these things. So
I always
reach out,
take it a step further. Mm-hmm. I say that it's not enough for you to know who your legislators are. They have to know who you are. They have to be so sick and tired of you sliding into their DM, showing up in their office, calling them, emailing them, that as soon as they see your number on the caller ID, they're like, damn it, I know she's just going to blow up and do something. You need to know who your legislators are. You know, I think that
I agree with you. I don't think that every single legislator that signed this bill is somehow trying to infringe on your free speech. It sounds so simple. If you actually read the summary of the bill, mm-hmm. who can be against it? You know, we don't want anti-Semitic flyers, and we don't want hate speech, and we don't want bad things and threats. I agree. Hate speech isn't nice. The threats are not good. I get that. But as we just showed you, going over some of the examples of what's defined as hate speech, that's really the part that's terrifying. There's no barometer for it. You have to trust the subjectivity of whoever is analyzing that situation to determine if it is in fact hate speech or not. And we're talking about people's lives potentially facing jail time up to
third degree felony,
serving at a maximum of 5 years in prison. So if you happen, here's a perfect example. If you put out a flyer saying that George Soros is a globalist, well, that's hate speech. That's double hate speech. Yeah. You can't say globalist either, in case I forgot to mention that earlier.
Or warmonger.
Or warmonger.
Or communist, actually. Or
you can't say communism. Yeah. There was, if you guys go on to the ADL, a glossary of extremism, and just kind of start looking through, you'll be shocked to find how much, like, to all the Q people, forget it. Trust the plan, hate speech. Only the military, also hate speech. Literally everything that's curated is hate speech.
They would be able to go after Donald Trump himself, who's a Florida resident.
Yeah, they would. So
hate speech.
So it says here, in I guess what they want to put in this bill, says any person who dubs litter in violation, littering is already an offense, right? Which we know that. But then here's a catch. If a person violates paragraph one, which is basically littering, intentionally dumping litter onto private residential property that evidences religious or ethnic animus for the purpose of intimidating or threatening the owner or resident of such property, the person commits a felony of third degree, punishable as provided in section, they go through the sections, a violation of this subparagraph shall be considered a hate crime for purposes of reporting the requirement. So again, if you were to decide for some reason at all that you want to call out, again, this is mostly anti-Semitic, so anything that she just said right now, and you put it into a flyer and you dump it and you pass out flyers in a neighborhood, you can face a third degree felony, even if you're not threatening the individuals in the home. Even if it's just information like the one that I posted today on my story, which is talking about the EDL and the president of the EDL. Now, it seems to me like that rep is actually lobbying for the EDL, because I believe that's what they're doing. That's my conspiracy, that they got the call from the EDL and they said, hey, this is what's happening and you need to crack down on this and I need you to work on this bill.
I mean,
is it possible? Is it not possible?
It doesn't even have to be coming directly from the ADL. Unfortunately, a lot of the Jewish organizations are also going to be connected back to the ADL. And it's unfortunate because it is the Jewish title is because of the horrific things that the Jewish populace has had to experience in history. Of course, that is then used to, very similar to what we saw in 2020. It's used to weaponize. In 2020, it was taking it all back, how we all had to pay the dues for slavery that happened 1,000 years ago. Now we're every single last one of us will pay for the Holocaust if you criticize George Soros, if you have a pit bull. This is where things start getting crazy, where they will use this very real painful situation that invokes a lot of feelings and then use that as a weapon to silence free speech. And really what it comes down to is control anything that contradicts the narrative that they've built.
Right.
And by them, I just mean the unit party, because I can't stress this enough. We are not, today's focus is not anti-ADL, it's 100% the unit party that we are trying to expose right now.
Well, sorry, go ahead.
That I think that in reality, since this bill is just so out there, it doesn't really have a chance of passing. Mm-hmm. So this could all just be grandstanding from a lot of these representatives that maybe in their district has a strong like Jewish community presence there, just to show that, you know, they're huge supporters of them and will stand up for them and whatnot. But so I feel like maybe that's where a lot of this is coming from, because I feel like the Cuban community for many years is used similarly by politicians, where whenever it's an election year, even though, you know, obviously we want Cuba's freedom, I'm Cuban myself, that has no effect here with U.S. politics. Yeah. They stand up every 4 years and say, I disavow the Castro regime.
Every time.
You know, I disavow communism and, you know, and so vote for me. That has nothing to do with local politics, with their constituents, like day-to-day lives, but they use this really hurt community to their own advantage. And so I would hate if that is the case, that legislators are trying to really pull on these heartstrings of people just to gain brownie points. I think that if that's what some of them are doing, they should probably take a good hard look in the mirror and, you know, change and fix some things. So
what I think is crazy is that this is evidently a bill that seeks to protect just Jewish people, because there's a section here that says if a person displays or projects an image that evidences religious or ethnic animus, including anti-Semitism as described in, and they give you the section, during the commission of an offense or under this subsection, it is prima facie evidence that such person has evidence of prejudice in commission. So they're not trying to protect anyone else, not Christians and Muslims and everyone else except Jewish people. And again, it's coming from two Jewish legislators here in Florida. I believe they want to also, part of it is that they want to criminalize and make it a third degree felony for you to display a swastika. And I said today on my story, when has it been that Cuban Americans in Miami, especially, you know, you guys are Cuban yourselves. Mm-hmm. When have you guys gotten the special treatment? When has it been that they are going to ban
the hammer and sickle?
When has it been that they're going to ban students from wearing Che Guevara shirts? This is a man that committed horrible crimes against minorities, against many people, killed gays, killed blacks, killed Cubans, shot him in the back. I mean, did horrible things, and nobody's getting the special treatment, but somehow Jewish people get the special treatment. I have a problem with that.
Well, I'll take it a step further. Yeah. One could argue that political ideology can be silenced the same way that persecution of a religious class or group can be. So then I'd argue, where are the laws that protect Christians? For the last 2 years, Christians in Miami-Dade have been doxxed and harassed by Antifa.
Many of them who are Jewish.
Many of them who are. Mm-hmm. Now, being anti-Antifa is also hate speech. So since being anti-Antifa is hate speech and the equivalent of being anti-Semitic and Hitler, then where are the laws that protect Christian conservatives that have gone to school board meetings to oppose gender ideology, to oppose critical race theory? Where are the groups that protect people like myself when last year I got behind a Christian conservative candidate? Antifa told me that anybody who donated to his campaign was going to be doxxed on their page. Mm-hmm. Where are the laws that protect it against that? And I'll tell you what, don't think for 1 second that we're not loud about this. Every single legislator down up to the governor is very well aware of what we have endured down here in Miami-Dade, and zero has been done. So when I hear laws that are going to be passed, that are going to give state rights to make Antifa more powerful on their persecution of conservatives, I have a problem with that. Specifically, when said conservatives have been exceptionally loud about the same persecution that they've been receiving for the last 2 years, and legislation, the governor, nobody has done a thing, not even as much as an acknowledgement. Every time you're told, ignore it. It's just words. Can't hurt you. You just got to move on. No one does anything to help. But the minute that a flyer goes out making any kind of criticism, now the flyer isn't even criticizing the Jewish community as a whole. It's criticizing the ADL as an organization. It's criticizing the ADL as an organization. And you're going to tell me that the entire legislation of Florida has somehow stopped what they're doing because nothing takes more precedence than this bill right now? It's hypocritical, and it's a slap in the face to the true Christian conservatives that helped turn this county and this state red.
Well, there's again, I think that the biggest issue is that right now, I personally believe that we're living in a banana republic. I mean, the Biden regime has completely weaponized our intelligence institutions. And when you have the FBI calling these Christian conservative parents at school board meetings domestic terrorists, I feel like that takes, you know, superior like precedence over anything that the state can do or local governments can do. And so I feel like they're even scared of really protecting this basis.
I can guarantee, I can confirm that.
Because I feel like they would get so much pushback from the DOJ.
I can confirm to you that that's the case.
And
they are scared to protect.
I think all of us has some kind of weird
FBI. Which is why they tell us to just ignore it. Forget it. Make pretend it's not happening. Don't let it get to your head. Bro, they're persecuting me. They're doxing my family. They're calling my freaking job. They're making sure that I'm not employed. They're celebrating when people have accidents or hurt themselves. We saw the Christian Family Coalition go into the Miami-Dade County School Board. A big group of people that took the effort to go out there and do their civic duty showed up to these school boards to oppose the gender ideology within the schools. And we saw it happen live. Antifa doxed every single person from the Christian Family Coalition that spoke out against the gender ideology. And they called them hateful. They called them homophobic. They called them Nazis. Where was the where was the energy? Because Vicky Lopez, for example, doubled down after Linda called. Oh, we've received some people pushing back. Vicky, where was the energy? I understand that you just got elected in 2020, but where is the energy to the fact that conservatives, Christian conservatives in South Florida have been harassed, intimidated? We have so many activists that were active in 2021 and in 2022 said, I can't do this anymore because of what they were being put through, because of the harassment that they had to endure from Antifa. Again, being anti-Antifa is considered hate speech. So what are you, Vicky? What are you, Juan Barquin, who I have your sign in my house all of election? I made posts about you. I made you a base Florida man in content. Where's the legislation that protects us? Where's the Christian Defamation League?
So I have here the flyers. I wish we would have posted them up, but we'd probably get banned. You can actually, I was looking at the Going Defense League flyers that they pass out to see what they say. And of course, our friends at the ADL have an entire page dedicated to the Going Defense League. And they themselves and the ADL say this. It says that basically this group is trying to mock them. So they say the Going Defense League is a small network of virulently anti-Semitic provocateurs led by John Minadale II, who moved from California to Florida in December 2022. GDL, so the Going Defense League, parodies the Anti-Defamation League's name and logo by replacing anti-defamation with Going Defense, Going being disparaging Yiddish and Hebrew word for non-Jews. So they themselves admit that this is personal to them. And now we have our legislators lobbying for the ADL. When you scroll down this page and you go see what the flyers say, there's like six different flyers that I guess they have passed out. The first one saying every single aspect of the media is Jewish. So they go down a list of, I guess, every single CEO from TMZ to Fox News who's Jewish. Then they have another one that says, let's go Brandon. And then it says every aspect of the Biden administration is Jewish. And then they point out every single person in the Biden administration who happens to be Jewish. And then they say every single aspect of Disney is Jewish. And then they point out every single, executive in Disney who happens to be Jewish. Every aspect of abortion is Jewish. And they point out, like Margaret, like every single person, I guess, that's been big in the abortion movement, who's Jewish. Every aspect of the Trump administration is Jewish. And then they point out Jared Kushner, every single person in the Trump administration who's Jewish. So obviously, they're hitting at both Democrats and Republicans alike. And then the last one I can't really see because it's too small. The slave trade was Jewish. And then I guess they're going through how the slave trade is Jewish. So there's no threats. There's no violence incited. They obviously hit the Trump administration. All three of us here are Trump supporters. Yeah. We supported President Trump, who's probably the most pro-Israel president in history, who took the embassy to Jerusalem, who made broker deals with Jared Kushner, who his son-in-law, who is Jewish, for the Middle East. We know that he made amazing strides over there. His daughter-in-law is a converted, right? She converted to Judaism. Yeah, and his
and his daughter
and his, you know, his grandkids are Jewish themselves. So I fail, as much as I disagree with this group's tactics, I fail to see the danger, or and I fail to see the violence or the threats that these Republican legislators claim that these flyers have.
It's very similar to how the left claims that words are violence.
Right.
Like, and that's, again, you cannot pass legislation that quite literally sums that up, that hurt feelings are violence.
Right.
And yeah, that's something that everybody listening should probably contact their legislator about. And really just oppose this, and maybe they can edit parts out, right? Like, obviously anything that's physical altercations and stuff like that, which technically is already on the books, but whatever, make it redundant.
The bill needs to go.
The facing of a cemetery.
Yeah, the bill has to go.
And then like, I go back to making the argument. Do y'all remember in 2020 when if you shared statistics of who committed the most crimes, the statistics on black crime, do you remember that when you shared those factual statistics, just numbers, this is the reality, this is what it looks like, how they called you racist? Do you remember that? Because this is quite very much like that. If you make any kind of observation that a board of directors at a particular company has 12 members, and out of the 12, 11 happen to be of a particular faith, you better pray to God that those 11 are Christian, because if they happen to be Jewish, you too are guilty of a hate crime. So how is this any different, right? We saw Republicans say, like, you can't call us racist. Facts don't care about your feelings. How many times did we hear that in 2020? Coming from our side, facts don't care about your feelings. Facts don't care about your feelings. Yet, if you make an observation, a fact-based observation, keeping opinion out of it, and it just so happens to be a fact-based fact-based regarding the Jewish community, then your life is over. That's just the reality. It will ruin your life. Mm-hmm. The worst thing that you can be in this country is anti-Semitic. So what an easy way to silence the opposition, to make sure that there is no opposition, than by quite literally ruining their lives by calling them anti-Semitic and then saying, well, I can prove that they're anti-Semitic, because then you're going to call people who call George Soros anti-Semitic, people who have pit bulls anti-Semitic, people who use the number 14 anti-Semitic.
It's gotten so crazy that even, I mean, South Park was joking about that.
Yeah, everything is anti-Semitic.
Like, yeah, the whole incident that happened.
What about when Roe v. Wade passed? When Roe v. Wade passed, one of the first thing that Jewish groups did was say that that being against abortion was anti-Semitism, because per Jewish law, or depending on what sect of Jews, they believe that they can have an abortion to a certain point. So there was actually lawsuits in a few states from rabbis and Jewish leaders against the overturn of Roe v. Wade. So are we also going to go after pro-life people that are passing out flyers, you know?
Well, that's my concern. I mean? That if you've got parents at a school board protesting gender ideology theory, that those parents could be, if they just so happen to be holding a sign or passing out a flyer or whatnot that says, you know, I'm anti-groomers, that those individuals, if with this law, would not be protected, and it would be completely justified for Antifa to come after them, for the police to come after them, for their government to come after them. No, the bill has to go altogether.
Yeah,
we've been on this for a little bit, right? So I want to move over to Senate HBO. Bill 1316. This is the bill that would require bloggers who write about the governor or other elected officials to register with the state. Now, bloggers would have to file periodic reports with the state if they are paid to post. Now, bloggers, I want to make sure that I'm specific on that. What that means is that if you have a Substack where you have people paying you contributions for your Substacks and for your opinions, then you must register for the state. Here's the part that you're going to love about this bill, right? So number one, it was presented by a Republican.
I know.
Actually, you know what?
0 days.
Before I go on with SB 1316, I want to make a point that's super important because I promise you, the comments on these videos are going to be filled with, get them out of here. It's time for them to go. What are we going to do? They need to go. We need to vote them out. 90% of you will not pay attention during a primary election. The primary elections are the single most important elections in this country, because during the primary elections is when the Uniparty pumps money into candidates that don't have your best interest in mind. And like we mentioned earlier, campaigns take money. So what do you think happens when the America First regular old schmo decides, you know what, I've had enough, I'm going to run because I believe in saving this country, but they don't have contacts. They don't have investors. They don't have donors. They don't have the backing of the party. Don't for one second think that the party backs them. So when they say, I'm going to take on the civic responsibility and I'm going to make the sacrifice, because it is a sacrifice. And I'm going to run for public office, and then they pump money into the rhino, and then you go into the voting booth and you're like, well, I've seen Rhino, whoever, I've seen the signs everywhere, and they've mailed me flyers every single, you know, every 2 days since election season started. That's who you're going to go vote for, because you don't even know who the America First candidate is. So before I even go into SB, because I am going to finish SB 1316, and like I mentioned, it is a Republican senator that presented this bill. Before I finish that, it's so important that you guys understand that if you do not like being represented by rhinos, it is a non-negotiable that you need to be involved and heavily involved during the primaries. That means that you need to be knocking on doors. You need to be sharing information. You need to be in the REC. You need to be involved in every aspect of a local political campaign if you actually want an America First candidate to win. But let's continue. Presented by a Republican Senator Jason Brodeur. Bloggers that fail to register would face a $25 per day fine with a maximum fine of $2,500. But here is the kicker. The legislation will not apply to content on the website of a newspaper or other similar publication. What does that mean? A couple of weeks ago, we told you guys about the Florida Standard. The Florida Standard is a Floridian publication that is doing a great job of circle jerking the governor. It's fantastic. He's got a media arm. He doesn't have to go to mainstream media. He can go through the Florida Standard. Now, because we're psychotic and we always like to know who's funding what, we try to track the funding of the Florida Standard. And would you believe it? It's a secret. You cannot know who's funding the Florida Standard. They won't tell you. They won't tell you who's behind the website. They'd rather not talk about their funding. And isn't it convenient that the law that's going to require, well, that would have required bloggers to register with the state wouldn't apply to news publications? What are they actually trying to stop? You guys think that the shift that we saw in 2020 was related to mainstream media, or was it relative to independent journalists, to bloggers, to regular ass people like you and I who just decided to open up an Instagram page or a Facebook or Twitter or whatever and start talking? And then just so happened that because people were interested in your content, you also had the ability to maybe monetize it. Mm-hmm. But the intention was always to share information, which meant that the cultural shift that occurred in 2020 was not led by mainstream media. It was led by individual bloggers and content creators. So when you've got Republican legislators trying to pass a bill in Florida that would mean that you need to register with the state if you're going to make any negative comment about, you know, the governor or the lieutenant governor or commissioners or whatever it is, who do you think they're trying to protect? Because it isn't you.
Nope.
And you had mentioned a few moments ago, like, how the GOP, especially the national GOP, has truly failed, especially it failed in this last election when it came to helping strong candidates, especially in Arizona with funding. Mm-hmm. I mean, where was, you know, Ronna McDaniel helping out with the Kerry Lake race, with the Blake Masters race? Mm-hmm. If a lot more funds were allocated there, we could have seen a complete shift in what happened, right? We could have probably, you know, flipped the Senate and we would have done a lot better. So why people are just really pissed off and they're not donating to the GOP as much. And so they're walking away or and just either donating directly to the candidate mm-hmm. that they support, or they're donating to other organizations like Turning Point Action. For example, Ronna McDaniel specifically called out Charlie Kirk and
what?
Said,
"Yeah, what was that about?"
And said that, you know, he's trying to take over the GOP, and it's like, no, we're really not. But if you're not doing your job well, if you're leaving candidates abandoned and without funding, despite people trusting in you and giving you donations to help these candidates out, then we need to divert funds to a place and an organization that will be a lot more resourceful. So everybody that's watching this, you know, pick your donations pretty cautiously and
I would say donate directly to candidates.
Yeah, donate directly to the candidates, and that's money talks.
In my perfect world,
that's how we'll hear the grassroots.
In my perfect world, we start the mostly peaceful Latina pack. And you guys just send us your money, and we will use that money to just troll and annoy the hell of all these politicians that do not represent you in any capacity. Let us know in the comments if you guys are down for the Mostly Peaceful Latina Action Pack, because I feel like that's a great solution. Because if I had limited funds, there'd be banners on airplanes flying all over the place. There would be trucks. Well, there'd be flyers. There'd be everything to challenge the narrative.
I'll do a shameless plug here. If they want to donate to Turning Point Action and see a lot more staffers on the ground helping true conservative candidates when it comes to their primaries, then that's probably also a really good allocation of funds. And we are completely transparent. So we have a Turning Point Action scorecard. So if you go to tpaction.com/scorecard, you can check and see where your congressperson ranks in the freedom scale. And so it's based on percentage points. And the more poorly they do, the more freedom they lose, and the more tyrannical and irrational they become, the uglier their profile picture on our page. So, and not just that, but we also show why it is that they got the score that they got. What were the key votes where they, you know, sided with, you know, us with true conservative values, or where it was that they, you know, sold out or voted with the other side or voted for a more Democrat policy. So all of that is on there at tpaction.com/scorecard. And then based on that and based on where those candidates rank and their policies is, it depends like whether they're going to get an endorsement from us and whether we will obviously put resources and boots on the ground to help them out in their next election. So
speaking of contributions, we want to take a quick minute, guys, to acknowledge the contributions that we've received. For usual, no Illuminati, no lizard people, guys. We really 100% depend on you guys to help fund this. And we just couldn't be more appreciative with the support that you guys show us. So our boy Adam Silva coming through with a $100 donation. Thank you, Adam. Here's to the 2305 leaders of Cult 45. I'm so grateful for you two fantastic ladies and all that you do. Blessing to you both. Thank you so much, Adam, for always supporting us and continuing to do so week after week. And then we've had Harshdeep Grover, and he with a $4.99 donation, letting us know that I'm gonna tell my grandkids that Kanye was right. Then we have Eric Thibault with a $19.99 donation. Thank you so much, Eric. And he says, keep fighting, fam. Much love. We love our followers. They come through every single week. And again, we wouldn't be able to do it without, we really wouldn't be able to do it without you guys. So truly support, truly appreciate the support that you guys show us week over week.
Quick
what?
That you're done with this bill, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then the other bill, I'm not sure if you're aware of this. I did post that it's bill. I think you didn't write this one down, did you? Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, it's on there.
The 6th. SB 222 and HB 305. And this is the anti-vaccine passport medical freedom bill. So I explained this before. What happened was in 2021, Governor DeSantis signed the banning of the vaccine passports, right? Mm-hmm. And although that was great, especially like, you know, you work from home, you work for a great organization, they're not going to require a vaccine passport. Mm-hmm. I work for myself, she works for herself. But our thought was that perhaps like supermarkets or places that we needed to go, we're going to ask for a vaccine passport. So he bans it and we say, yay. However, that didn't actually stop medical tyranny. In what sense? That it gave the freedom to private employers to require masking, testing, isolation from employees.
Yeah.
So your employer could say, do you have the vaccine? No, I don't have it. Okay, well, you're gonna wear a mask for the rest of, we don't know, 6 months, a year, until you decide to get the vaccine. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a punishment and obviously isolating people. Mm-hmm. And so when that happened, we actually tried to stop it. There's a really good organization called Health Freedom Florida. And they came to me and they said, this was back in 2021, like, hey, can you please help us like push out this message and try to stop this bill, blah, blah, blah. It didn't go through. They signed it. Fast forward now, that bill by DeSantis is about to expire. I think it expires in the summer. And also, we wanted to ratify in the law that we need to have medical freedom for all. What does this mean? That you're not going to be discriminated against if you don't have any vaccine, that mm-hmm. you're not going to be asked to test every single day, mm-hmm. or wear a mask or isolate. Mm-hmm. And so the governor had alluded, like before the legislative session started, the governor had alluded that he was going to do that and that he was going to be pro-freedom and actually pass this bill. What ended up happening was that on Tuesday, when the medical freedom activists were at the state capitol in Tallahassee, Chris Nelson actually has the video. There's a video of them basically saying, like going into the legislator's office and saying like, hey, like what's going on with their bill? Like, you know, do you back mm-hmm. it up? And he's like, well, the governor just gave us another bill. And that bill does not include all the amendments and everything that you guys want. It's a watered down bill. And the bill basically just protects, it's kind of like the same bill. It doesn't protect anything else. You can still be discriminated against. Mm-hmm. And so I immediately texted this girl that's part of the organization. I knew she was there. She has a child that was injured by the Jews, childhood juices, not the Rona juice. And so she was deeply hurt. And she's like, you know, like I was at the press conference where the governor said that he would back up her bill and that he was going to protect medical freedom for all. Now mm-hmm. he's backtracking on the bill and putting on a watered down bill that is not going to do anything of what we want. So that's where we're at right now.
So that means that right. if, you know, 2 years from now, it's no longer COVID and it's smallpox or Wing Chun Chun or whatever the hell it is that they decide to come up with, the bill is obsolete and does absolutely nothing. Aside from the fact that the bill is actually counterproductive because it doesn't really offer any kind of protection. In fact, what it does is that it codifies into law that an employer can now discriminate against you as an anti-juiced mm-hmm. person and require that you mask permanently and go into weekly testing, and that's right. a minimum, weekly testing that they can do. So keeping all of that in mind, I think that if anything, we think it's so important to showcase how deceptive legislation can be. Mm-hmm. Again, if you guys start with the first bill that we started talking about today, HB 269, which is a huge deal, and we need to start making noise about it today because the blogger bill we know was shot down.
Hasn't been shut down. The governor just said that he just didn't support it.
Been shut down. No.
Thank you.
It hasn't been shut down. It is so important for you guys, like we started the show. It is not enough that you know who your legislators are. They must know who you are, your name, your phone number, your email, and not because they sent the FBI after to watch you. It's because you do not back off on holding them accountable to do the job that you elected them to do it. This is not personal. This is not, I think, you know, Barquin is a perfect example. I've praised Barquin a lot in legislation that he's been behind. The anti-grooming, the parental rights and education bill was a bill that was co-signed by Barquin, and we gave him a lot of credit. Here on our show, we've given them the praise that they deserve when they do the right thing. But when you are doing something that contradicts the special interest, the interest of your constituents, we're going to call it out. And a lot of the times, so the point that you made earlier, which are not necessarily bad people, maybe they just have never understood it from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. You were texting Daniel Perez today, and he said, you know what, Linda, you bring up good points. I can understand your perspective. Maybe that had just never been presented before, and that's why we're here.
And it's really sad because I know from personal experience, I mean, my sister is a nurse, right? And during the height of the pandemic, she had to literally leave the state to go find work elsewhere because so many different places required like the vax and boosters and all that stuff. And so when things eased down, is that she was able to finally find work here. So she had to literally like leave her home, everything for months, right? And so the same way that you can't discriminate, even if you're a private business, for age or sex or gender or anything like that.
Correct.
Because it's your own person, right? Mm-hmm. This is just all about bodily autonomy and bodily freedom. So the fact that just because it's a private, you know, organization, it can demand that it can put substances into your body or else, even a stick up your nose for a test,
it's ridiculous.
It's still invasive, right?
Absolutely.
And you don't even know where that stick is. I've literally declined interviews where they've told me, oh, all I need to do is, you know, a little stick test of the nose. I'm like, I don't know if that stick came from China and has the Rona or something else on there.
Something else.
I don't want to, you know, I don't want to do it. So like, sorry. But again, all of this, the same way that the left would pass sweeping invasive legislation if they were in control, we have the opportunity right now, at least in Florida, right? Republicans have control. Well, let's use it to our advantage. And it's not like we are imposing our views on other people. We are quite literally just giving more individual liberty if we were to actually follow through with these laws and these proposed bills as it was before, not watered down.
I'll give you guys an example. There has been nurses that before the Rona situation, that during flu season, they are required to have the flu juice.
Yep.
And when they decline it for X and Y reason, then they're told by the hospital, fine. But throughout the entire flu season, you're going to have to mask up.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's actually been cases where these nurses have won.
Some options. I can tell you for a fact that I know that in Jackson Memorial Hospital, if you turn down the UM Jackson Memorial, if you turn down the shot, they'll take you off the schedule. And it's not even COVID, the flu shot.
No.
If you turn it down, they'll be like, okay, it's okay. We're just not going to put you on the schedule during flu season.
Mm-hmm. They won't give you hours. You won't be able to work.
So you can't work.
Yeah.
That's your punishment.
So with that, we're coming to the end of our show, but we don't want to end just yet. We do want to ask you, what do you think about the whole DeSantis and Trump situation?
So I am a Trump 2024 girl. I think that we're lucky to have DeSantis as a governor. And yes, in the future, I would love to see him in that position. And I think, you know, Trump 2024, DeSantis 2028, that's where I stand on that. I really do think that the majority of this MAGA movement, this America First movement, started because of Trump. I don't think that he was given really a fair shot in the last election. I think there were too many discrepancies that just completely eliminated the trust of many voters in the election process.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he needs a fair shot at that again. And again, we thank DeSantis for all the work he's done here in Florida. And he still has a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
So we hope that he sticks around for a while to finish out his governorship. And that we don't see much infighting because the left wants nothing more. I mean, they're struggling to just find somebody without dementia to put forward on a pedestal and really compete against him. So I will always, I'm pretty loyal. And I still will call out, Donald Trump on things that I don't agree with. For example, he endorsed Ronna McDaniel the other day. And we didn't want that. Not even DeSantis wanted that. He was behind the opponent, Harmeet Dillon, who was
I opposed Harmeet. I know she's a little bit shady, but we can talk about that later.
Well, she in our opinion, was a lot more grassroots oriented and listened to groups that actually put in the work on the ground. And so we supported her. Ron obviously had a lot of failures in these last elections, and we shouldn't reward people by failing. Only the left does that with participation trophies. So that's where I'll stand on the issue.
You know, our whole thing is that we try to stay pretty neutral. But actually, let me tell you guys something that happened this week. Christina Pusha, who is the governor's spokesperson, she was his press secretary. Then she became the rapid response director, pretty much. She is the leader of the information warfare for Governor DeSantis, and she's who's behind recruiting influencers, media surrogates, and driving the narrative mostly on Twitter. She was following our podcast on Twitter, and this week she unfollowed us. This woman follows 9,000 accounts. A lot of the accounts that she follows are actually what looks like bot accounts. They're accounts that are very nasty towards Trump supporters. She follows every single one of those accounts. We've been keeping track since November, so it's been 4 months since we've been keeping track of what Team DeSantis has been doing, especially on Twitter. And I think she realized that we have been
opposing and
exposing some of the tactics that they used against Trump and his supporters. She saw it. She might have seen this podcast or some of our posts, definitely not on Twitter, but she stopped following us completely. And I said that on
the
live.
And the point that I made to Linda yesterday with the unfollow of Christina Pusha of the Mostly Peaceful Latina podcast, you know, for the last couple of months, we've been tracking the activities online of what appear to be an army of pro-DeSantis bots. Every single one of these pages is followed by Christina Pusha, the rapid response team leader. And she comments on the polls, she interacts with them, she retweets them. All of these accounts, it doesn't matter how small the account is, Christina Pusha follows it. And for a long time, this is something that we've made mention to, but we're told, well, maybe she's just following, keeping up information, not necessarily an endorsement. I would argue that the physical action of unfollowing us, who supported the governor wholeheartedly, and might I say continue to support Governor Ron DeSantis, just oppose the shadow campaign presidency for 2024, I think it speaks volumes on the unfollow of Mostly Peaceful Latina, who helped with the governor's election from not just her personal page, but also the DeSantis War Room page. And that kind of tells me that if you don't want to follow me, despite the fact that we've supported the governor, just not President Ron DeSantis, that tells me that you don't want to endorse our message. So then what it also tells me is that you do in fact endorse the messages of these bots and these counter anti-Trump people, which is fine. This is politics. You are right. Very much allowed to decide that you no longer want to support Donald Trump, that you don't want to be a part of MAGA, that you think that the Republican Party needs to go in a different direction. By all means, that is your prerogative and you can do that.
Right.
But it is the disrespect of lying to us and watching MAGA be split apart because, oh, well, he's not running. You guys are just creating division. It's not real. When we know that he is running.
Yeah.
That deception is really what grinds my gears.
He's been using the book tour as a means to campaign.
Well, I'm sure a lot of politicians have similar tactics to that.
Yeah.
Personally, I will say, and again, this is just me speaking from my own, you know, perspective. I quite literally knocked doors all of last year for DeSantis. I helped host rallies in support of DeSantis in Florida, you know, just outside with hundreds of people, sometimes thousands of people. And so we obviously support the governor. And so I really hope that respect goes both ways, because the same way that we've helped them, just because you're not with somebody on a certain battle, just because somebody picks a political opponent, I hope that they are still grateful for the work that of people course. Like myself, which there's many people out there that supported DeSantis, put in so much work, still like our governor a lot and want him to maybe in the future be a presidential candidate and be your nominee. But right now, know that the best thing for the party, for all of us, for the state of Florida, for the country is to have Trump be your nominee.
And I really dislike the tactics that they've used. And I guess it's probably because, you know, we're researchers. We probably should have a research firm more than anything else, I think.
I think so.
But as an example, they have created a few narratives that we know are just simply not true. The first one being that Donald Trump is unelectable. Okay. Yeah. We saw that. What happened in 2016, and then without having the media, without having much support of from the Uniparty, this man got 10 million more votes, right? Mm-hmm. 10 or 11 million more votes. Sure enough, they created the illusion that Biden had the most votes ever in history. And obviously, we can't say much about the election discrepancies, but we know that's simply just not true. Mm-hmm. They've also created this new narrative that moderates and independents would never vote for Trump. And that is why DeSantis is the more viable and the best candidate. you know, we've talked about it almost every single podcast. Both of us here used to be independent, moderate Democrats. We're no longer. And that happened because of Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen because of Ronald McDaniel. That didn't happen because of Senator Rubio, who would be a closer ally to us, being that he's Cuban American and here in Miami. That only happened because of Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And just like that, we have so many people, not only that watch our podcast, but also come to our account to tell us that they identify so much with us because they also were Democrats at some point, or moderates, or independents. And they were turned off by the Republican Party, but they see the Trump effect now, especially after this last 3 years of a Biden economy. A lot of people, and I think this happens with the conservative influencers and activists online, is that they don't realize that a lot of people care about their pocket more than anything else. They're not necessarily paying attention to the vaccine topic, whether he pushed it or didn't push it, or whether he endorsed Kevin McCarthy. You and I have a lot more knowledge of the rhinos of DC. So we'll talk about that, right? I disagree with the Ronald McDaniel stuff. Do you think the average person thinks about that? They don't, because they're hurting. They're hurting. I had to explain this to my friend who's really wealthy, and she's like, I just don't get it because my sales are doing great. And I was like, well, yeah, your sales are doing great and you're able to travel and do all these things. But the reality is that there's someone, let's say a family of three, mom, dad, and child, and that family brings in $100,000 a year. And they were probably maybe comfortable and okay in Miami before the housing market went up the roof, before their rent went up, before groceries were more expensive, before gas was more expensive. Now they're the only thing they can think to themselves is, holy crap, back in 2020, my groceries were 20-30% less. Back in 2020, I was paying for $2 a gallon. I could go.
My life
back
was
in
better,
2020, period. My life was better. Yeah. And she had a viral TikTok reel, whatever you want to call it, where we were actually answering a question for one of our listeners. They were talking about, you know, life was better. All people are going to remember is life was better under Donald Trump. And so we posted it as a reel. She read it off and she said, that's right. And that's where we're going to have moderates come in. And that's where we're going to have. Well, let me tell you something. That is one of the most shared reels on our Instagram account. And when we went to see who was sharing this reel, it was people that don't follow us. It was Democrats. It was people that had pronouns.
With pronouns in bio.
Pronouns in their bio.
If you do man on, I feel like the best way to really get a feel for like what's actually happening is doing man on the street videos and just going out there into the community, interviewing people randomly and asking them these questions. Like, were they better off under a Donald Trump presidency than they are now?
Yeah.
Who is it that they're planning to vote for in the next election? Mm-hmm. And it's obviously not what the establishment is telling us. The Uniparty is telling us. The same way that, especially if you are in the political circle, for example, like I was back in 2016, politicos, those that call themselves politicos, could have never expected a Trump presidency.
Right.
But you know who did?
Yeah.
The little viejita, little old lady across the hall. It was like, Trump's going to win it. Like everybody was super sure.
En because, la cafeteria.
Yeah, like everybody was just so convinced of it, and they were the ones telling the politicos, I told you so.
Right.
It was so.
And Ann Coulter, she was the only political that said it.
It was so unexpected that Hillary was in shock and couldn't recover until the next day to concede that she had lost, you know?
They had printed out. I always say they had printed out the Madam President, the New York Times.
The same thing that's going to happen, that's going on right now, is that they're trying to gaslight us. I love that word.
Yeah.
They're trying to gaslight us and tell us the opposite of what is the reality. The reality is that Trump has the name brand recognition. Not a single person in this country, unless you are living under a literal rock, like tied to a somewhere.
Yeah. Right.
That you don't know, you know, who he is, what he's done for this country, has lived under his economy. And we love Ron DeSantis here, right? There's even like a bunch of influencers that joke about it, like, just this is Ron DeSantis country, and you know, he's a rep. But it's not the same in other states. Like, the disconnect is so real. They don't understand, like, for us, we get him, everybody knows him, the state of Florida, he's cool, but in other parts of the United States, they still don't know who the heck he is, who is this governor.
No, they don't. The majority of people don't get don't care. And it's like we said in the reel,
hopefully,
like,
one day
majority
will,
of people are gonna vote with the if he runs in 2024, he's going to win if he gets the Donald Trump endorsement. 2028. Mm-hmm. He can't win without the Donald Trump endorsement. He couldn't win governor without the Donald Trump endorsement, people.
Oh my gosh.
He spent the last four and he spent the last 4 years mimicking the MAGA America First agenda to make a name for himself.
Yeah.
I think that we should transition over to questions and start. Guys, drop your questions in the comments. Use the super chats, please. Remember, self-funded, no Illuminati, no lizard people, dropping the facts, going up against the deep state on our own. No help.
Somebody said here, I think it was Eric Thibault. I hope I'm saying that right. Vicky is in crisis control mode. She DM'd me and wanted to schedule an in-person meeting. So she DM'd me too. I haven't actually answered her DM yet. I do want to meet with her. And I want to meet with her with the purpose of explaining what we just explained to you guys, which is all of this can be anti-Semitism. And then I want to show her the attacks that we have faced for the last 2 years from Antifa, not just us, mothers, parents,
Christians,
when they were making fun of Christians outside, they literally said that the Christians praying out, just praying. All they did was pray.
It was a beautiful
and
moment.
That was Christian nationalism, Christian fascism. Look at these fascists. So these type of attacks, I want to show her that because we've had no protection towards that. In fact, we had a person, you saw that they vandalized the pregnancy clinic.
Oh, yeah, in Hialeah.
In Hialeah. Mm-hmm. They did nothing for that. We were actually helping the...
No, nothing.
They did nothing. We were the ones that tipped off the owner of the pregnancy clinic. In mm-hmm. fact, Antifa wrote a great article about me and Bella the other day.
I'm so proud.
I was so proud. For exposing them. And... You know, when that happened, I was like, well, where are the Miami Republicans? Where is Bobo, who's the mayor of Hialeah? Where is Commissioner Carroyo? Where is this one? And it was just like ghosted. You didn't hear any of these people say, let's criminalize and further go after Antifa for doing this. They didn't care about any of that.
Well, so maybe we can set up a meeting with them as well.
Right.
I think that in the end, they did, you know, arrest the guy and all of that. But again,
it was
through independent journalists.
Hi.
That we're able to get a name out there and finally they arrested the guy. And so, yeah, I think that people like yourselves are the ones that should have the ear of these local politicians. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of them, like, you just said Vicky Lopez messaged you guys back and was willing to sit
her
down.
Her staff member did hang up on me and now he's lying. He's like, my staff member said she didn't hang up. And like,
he rushed you off the phone and
he did. And then he disconnected the phone. And that's why I had to drive there and be psycho. That's what happened.
Sorry, that's what's going to happen.
That's
you hung up on me. I will be there.
She called me. She's like, should I just go? I'm like, absolutely. You need to just go. Of course, me.
And I'm like, calling Laura
her up because we need that so much. And we need to hype each other up like that.
And look, I called my Jewish friend, right? I was like, Laura Loomer, like, what do I do? I'm like, you know, tell me exactly. She's like giving me all this advice on like what to say and what to do. And I was like, perfect. I was like, you know, once I'm there. So yeah, bro, I had to pull up because that's what we do.
Hold up today. Guys, I think that we're getting towards the end of the podcast. But if there's anything that we can stress, it's just how important it's going to be for you guys, particularly Floridians, to get involved at this time. Please reach out to your state legislature. Please reach out to your congressman. Please reach out. Oppose this bill. Demand that they listen to you and that they oppose this bill. Email, phone numbers. If you guys do not know how to get a hold of this information, we completely volunteer to help you. Send us a message on the Mostly Peaceful Latinas. You can either reach us on Truth Social. You can call me at Red Pill Babe on Truth Social, or you can reach out on the Mostly Peaceful Latinas Instagram page. And you can just let me know, hey, this is where I'm at. I want to know who my state legislature is. And I will try and get you that information for you, or someone, depending on who's running the page, will try and get that out to you.
And if they want to join their local GOP and their local RECs, you go to tpaction.com/PC and we'll assign somebody that can help you with the whole process.
I mean, again, so I can put in your tpaction.com/PC
and you can fill that out and we can find out where it is, like what precinct they are in. And if the information is online, if there's availability, connect them with the party chair. And just let them know what the process is. Because sometimes it's a little bit daunting for people to
incredibly. To get involved. That's why I volunteer.
So red tape. And so we're here to make the process a little bit more simple. So just reach out to us.
It's very valuable information, guys. The REC is basically how the GOP funnels money into your local elections and how it is that you actually see the Republican Party at work in your county. So taking control of that from the oligarchy and giving it back to regular people is incredibly important and pushing the country forward with local action. All right. Anything else, or
we'll be back.
Did you get it all out of your chest, Linda? Like, is it all out?
Because you've been. I've been holding it on, you know. And then you guys know how I am. I get into my crazy little moods. I should have been working on my jewelry store and doing other things that were more productive. But this was also productive because I care about this issue. Especially when they're trying to gaslight us into saying, well, this is just about threats. And I'm like, dude, we already have laws for that. And we have hate crime laws. So if somebody goes to a synagogue, as an example, and you know, paints swastikas or vandalizes it or breaks the windows, like, you are going to go to jail, not just for vandalizing, but also as a hate crime. Yeah. So these things already exist. Mm-hmm. And I think I got it all out, and I am going to follow up with every single, especially the Cuban Americans. I've already followed up with four of them. I still have other ones to go. And I definitely want to talk to Alex Rizzo, who's the chair of the REC, the Republican Party of Miami-Dade. And I want to question him about it. I do think, to what you said, and both of you said this, I do think that a lot of some of these people, first of all, they don't read bills. I know that for a fact they don't read bills because they just don't, right? So they may see a title or something that it's well-intentioned. Oh, of course we want to combat anti-Semitism. We don't want our Jewish people to suffer or whatever it is. So some of them may say, I will co-author your bill. I will, you know, I will sign in. But they have no idea of what we just talked about.
Yep.
You know, so
they're going to learn.
They're going to learn.
They're going to learn today. They're going to learn today.
Well, thank you guys. And thank you, Drianna, for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Hopefully you can come back.
Yes.
And where can they find you? Where can our followers find you?
So just look up Drianna Sixto anywhere on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, even TikTok, although I haven't posted there in a while.
You did well. You had like viral ones. I follow you.
Yes.
I know.
I used to post a lot more on there, and it blew up very quickly. So I probably should be posting on there a little bit more. But if you'd like to get involved, I mean, slide in my DMs for that. and I'll be happy to connect you. So hopefully I'll be back because I love bold, you know, out there Latinas.
Thank you.
Getting stuff done.
Thank you guys
so much for having me.
Alrighty, guys, we will see you next week.
The end of our show, guys. See you next week.